Unit 2. Focus 1. Language Skills. Section 1. Model Passage Reading. A Strange Tale of the Smuggler's Revenge.
If you like unusual, gripping stories, the kind that you cannot stop reading until you reach the end, then you will enjoy the story about a customs officer. It tells of a young customs officer called Harvey, whose duty was to prevent smuggling, bringing goods into or sending them out from a country without paying duty to the government. That was common in England at one time. Harvey, who had a wife called Lucy and a son, Alfred, worked extremely hard, for he was ambitious and wanted a promotion. He apprehended so many smugglers that they decided to teach him a lesson. They tricked him into meeting them at the top of a cliff, where they had intended to kill him. But at the last moment, they changed their mind. Instead of throwing him over the cliff, they left him hanging over the ledge, holding on by his bare hands, which were bound together so that he could not climb to safety. If he let go, he would fall to his death on the rocks below. The adventure below is narrated by Harvey himself. Hanging thus over my wide open grave, I seem to remember my whole past life, things long forgotten, the joys and sorrows of childhood, lessons learned at my mother's knee, boyhood quarrels and adventures. I remembered how I used to run away from school, how I won the prize, and how I was punished for some childish faults. These and many other scenes of my early life passed before my covered eyes. Still hallucinating, I was a man and already in my profession. My first capture, my first meeting with smugglers, came before me with great clarity. Next I was a lover, walking at Lucy's side among the trees in the fields. Then I saw little Alfred's childish face and wondering eyes, very near to mine, it seemed. Then I laughed, or seemed to laugh, a wild, mad laugh that shook and pained me. But the gag was tight between my teeth, and no sound could escape. I had already been suspended for some time over the precipice, and my hands were aching, and my neck was stiff. Still I held on. My thoughts flew off to Lucy and our child, to the sadness and suffering and want that were waiting for her, now that the breadwinner was gone, for I thought of myself as already deceased. And then the clock of St. James Church in Dover struck the hour, and the wind carried the sound to my ears. 12. More than 8 hours of darkness. The wind now howled less, and the cold rain fell and cut my face and hands, but still I clung to the cliff. If I fell to the rocky shore below, while the tide was still on the ebb, I would be crushed to pieces surely. Would such a death be painful? I imagined the rush through the air, the sense of falling through space, the speed of the fall, the torturous crash upon the rocky shore. Would I feel it? Was it possible that I would lie there for hours, with fractured bones and a broken back, waiting for death? Drowning would surely be better than this. Ah, if I could only hold on until the tide flowed in, the sea would provide me with a painless ending. This sad hope enticed me to tighten my grip. I would die anyway, but drowning, I had heard, was an easier death than the fall I had before me. But why die at all? If I could persevere till the high tide washed the shore, I might escape. I could swim well. And the cruel ropes that tied my wrists would not prevent me from fighting with the waves. My strength was waning fast. I was sick and exhausted. Ha! I may as well act like a man struggling for life. I contemplated that with a great effort I might hoist myself onto the top of the cliff and be saved. It was true that the effort would use up my remaining strength. However, I tried. For a moment, I felt myself rising. I would have succeeded if the ropes hadn't restricted my movement. I sank and swung like a pendulum from side to side in midair. This could not last long. The pain was excruciating. My strength was ebbing. In a minute, I would have to let go and fall to my death. Then suddenly, a wild idea seized me that perhaps the smugglers were less cruel than I thought, and they were nearby, watching me, ready to save me after all. Yes, it must be so. I tried hard to cry for help, to tell them that in a second it would be too late. But my mouth was gagged. I could not utter a word. I let go my hold. Strangely, no quick fall through the air followed. I dropped only a few inches before my feet touched something firm, the solid ground. It was not a dream. I was still alive. I fainted, toppling to the ground. When I regained consciousness, it was morning. I was lying on the wet ground. Two men were beside me, and one of them was trying to pour some spirits into my mouth. My blindfold had been removed, and my wrists were free. I looked up, wondering whether I was in this world or the next. "I'm very glad, sir, you've opened your eyes at last," said one of the men. "Though how you came here, nobody could guess." I looked wildly about. I was lying not on the shore, but on the floor of a cave in the Chalk Hills. Let me explain the cruel trick played on me. I have no doubt that the smugglers, when they caught me by means of the false letter, had intended to kill me. But at the last moment they decided to spare my life after all, not for my sake, but for the sake of my wife and child. However, they were unwilling to let me escape punishment altogether. So they placed me in a position where I was sure to feel the agony of impending death, without having to die. They left me hanging blindfolded over the edge of a shallow cave in the Chalk Hills, less than 9 feet in depth. But they convinced me that I was hanging over a steep cliff ledge, with an inevitable death slowly creeping up on me. Being a man 6 feet in height, I was within short distance of the ground. When I fell, the bottom was no more than a yard from my feet. But I died 1,000 deaths during that terrible hour I spent on Poet's Cliff.
New words.
Revenge.
Gripping.
Smuggling.
Apprehend.
Trick.
Cliff.
Ledge.
Bind.
Sorrow.
Hallucinate.
Clarity.
Gag.
Precipice.
Breadwinner.
Howl.
Ebb.
Crush.
Crash.
Fracture.
Entice.
Grip.
Persevere.
Wane.
Contemplate.
Hoist.
Excruciating.
Solid.
Topple.
Blindfold.
Agony.
Impending.
Creep.
Proper nouns.
St. James Church.
Dover.
Poet's Cliff.
Section 2. Listening and Speaking. Listening. 1. Listen to a conversation on the text only once, and then fill in the blanks according to what you've just heard.
Thank goodness that you finally regained consciousness. What happened?
The smugglers. They took revenge on me.
I told you that you are too ambitious. You apprehended so many smugglers that they want to teach you a lesson now.
Lucy, you know I want a promotion, and I want you and our son to live a better life.
Oh, darling, what do they do to you anyway?
Well, they tricked me into meeting them at the top of a cliff, and then left me there, hanging over the ledge, with my bare hands bound together and eyes blindfolded. If I let go, I would fall to my death on the rocks below.
Oh, God! How were you saved, then?
In fact, they had me hanging over the edge of a shallow cave in the Chalk Hills, and made me believe that I was hanging over a huge cliff.
But why do they do this?
I think they wanted to punish me, but not to kill me. So they placed me in a position where I was sure to feel the agony of impending death, without having to die.
So the smugglers were not so cruel as we thought.
Well, I think they finally let me go for the sake of you and our son.
2. Listen to a long conversation twice and then choose the best answer to each question you hear.
It is high time that I left. Don't go, John. Alone by myself, I wouldn't have been delighted. You look very upset today. Your fish is left almost untouched. What's wrong? Jane refused my 100th proposal. She said I was stupid. Poor young man. You're smart and kind-hearted, though a little bit careless and disorganized sometimes. Were I Jane, I would be very pleased to marry you. I will try again. Maybe she will accept my proposal this time. Cheer up, Peter. Even if you failed, you shouldn't give up. Right. 101st proposal. May you succeed.
A few days later.
Hi, Peter. What happened? Jane sent me a bunch of flowers, but she forgot to pull the flowers out from the flower pot.
Questions. 1. Which of the following statements about Peter is true?
Two. Why is Peter upset today?
3. What does John think of Peter?
4. What does Peter decide to do?
5. What happened finally, according to the dialogue?
'It is high time that I left. Don't go, John. Alone by myself, I wouldn't have been delighted. You look very upset today. Your fish is left almost untouched. What's wrong? Jane refused my 100th proposal. She said I was stupid. Poor young man. You're smart and kind-hearted, though a little bit careless and disorganized sometimes. Were I Jane, I would be very pleased to marry you. I will try again. Maybe she will accept my proposal this time. Cheer up, Peter. Even if you failed, you shouldn't give up. Right. 101st proposal. May you succeed.
A few days later.
Hi, Peter. What happened? Jane sent me a bunch of flowers, but she forgot to pull the flowers out from the flower pot.
Questions. 1. Which of the following statements about Peter is true?
2. Why is Peter upset today?
3. What does John think of Peter?
Four. What does Peter decide to do?
Five. What happened finally, according to the dialogue? Three. Listen to a passage three times and then fill in the blanks.
A new brain imaging study suggests we feel satisfaction when we punish others for bad behavior. In fact, anticipation of this pleasure drives us to crack the whip, according to scientists behind the new research. The findings, reported in today's issue of the journal Science, may partly explain a behavior known as altruistic punishment. Why do we reprimand people who have abused our trust or broken other social rules, even when we get no direct practical benefits in return? A person who has been cheated is left in a bad situation, with bad feelings, said study co-author Ernst Fehr, director of the Institute for Empirical Research in Economics at the University of Zurich in Switzerland. The person would feel even worse if the cheater does not get her or his just punishment. Human societies are an anomaly in the animal world. Ours are based on a detailed division of labor and cooperation between genetically unrelated individuals in large groups. Fehr and his colleagues suggest that the feeling of satisfaction people get from delivering altruistic punishment may be the glue that keeps societies together. Theory and experimental evidence shows that cooperation among strangers is greatly enhanced by altruistic punishment, Fehr said. Cooperation among strangers breaks down in experiments if altruistic punishment is ruled out. Cooperation flourishes if punishment of defectors is possible. A new brain imaging study suggests we feel satisfaction when we punish others for bad behavior. In fact, anticipation of this pleasure drives us to crack the whip, according to scientists behind the new research. The findings, reported in today's issue of the journal Science, may partly explain a behavior known as altruistic punishment. Why do we reprimand people who have abused our trust or broken other social rules, even when we get no direct practical benefits in return? A person who has been cheated is left in a bad situation, with bad feelings, said study co-author Ernst Fehr, director of the Institute for Empirical Research in Economics at the University of Zurich in Switzerland. The person would feel even worse if the cheater does not get her or his just punishment. Human societies are an anomaly in the animal world. Ours are based on a detailed division of labor and cooperation between genetically unrelated individuals in large groups. Fair and his colleagues suggest that the feeling of satisfaction people get from delivering altruistic punishment may be the glue that keeps societies together. Theory and experimental evidence shows that cooperation among strangers is greatly enhanced by altruistic punishment, Fear said. Cooperation among strangers breaks down in experiments if altruistic punishment is ruled out. Cooperation flourishes if punishment of defectors is possible. A new brain imaging study suggests we feel satisfaction when we punish others for bad behavior. In fact, anticipation of this pleasure drives us to crack the whip, according to scientists behind the new research. The findings, reported in today's issue of the journal Science, may partly explain a behavior known as altruistic punishment. Why do we reprimand people who have abused our trust or broken other social rules, even when we get no direct practical benefits in return? A person who has been cheated is left in a bad situation, with bad feelings, said study co-author Ernst Fehr, director of the Institute for Empirical Research in Economics at the University of Zurich, in Switzerland. The person would feel even worse if the cheater does not get her or his just punishment. Human societies are an anomaly in the animal world. Ours are based on a detailed division of labor and cooperation between genetically unrelated individuals in large groups. Fair and his colleagues suggest that the feeling of satisfaction people get from delivering altruistic punishment may be the glue that keeps societies together. Theory and experimental evidence shows that cooperation among strangers is greatly enhanced by altruistic punishment, Fear said. Cooperation among strangers breaks down in experiments if altruistic punishment is ruled out. Cooperation flourishes if punishment of defectors is possible.
Speaking. Reference answer.
Suppose you were an inventor. What would you like to invent?
Were I an inventor, I would like to invent a medicine that would cure cancer. With this medicine, those patients wouldn't suffer so much.
Then why didn't you go to medical school?
Well, if only my father had been rich enough. You know how much it costs to study medicine.
What a pity. If I had known this, I would have helped you.
You're so nice. By the way, if you were an inventor, what would you like to invent?
I wish I could travel to the future. So I would like to invent a time machine.
Time machine? You're so imaginative. If you could travel to the future, what would you like to see? To see what you look like when you are old?
Hey.
Sorry, I was kidding.
Focus 2. Language use. Section 1. Practical reading. Human eyes possess destructive power of laser.
It was known long ago that people could kill with their eyes. The head of one of the key departments in a Moscow research institute suddenly died. The man was known for his troublemaking nature and lack of respect towards colleagues and subordinates. One day, the boss advanced some harsh and insulting remark in the address of a subordinate. The latter said nothing, but his glance was so sinister that the boss suddenly dropped the head on the desk and began to rattle. When doctors arrived, they had to verify death of the man, but could not explain the reason why the healthy man died so suddenly. A pathologist who performed the autopsy said that the heart of the dead man had been stopped by some force the way a human hand may stop a pendulum from swinging. Investigators of the sudden death supposed that the subordinate offended by the boss was probably the force that killed the man. Indeed, his sinister and gloomy glance gave police officers creeps. It was now long ago that people may have murderous glances. A really sensational story occurred in the beginning of the past century in Paris. Opera singer Massol, known for his gloomy nature and the manner of frowning all the time, was incredibly popular at the Italian Imperial Opera at that time. Once he was singing the Damnation aria in an opera by Allevi with the eyes upraised. At that very moment, a technician shifting scenery above the scene fell down and died in an instant. Next time, the singer stopped his glance on a bandmaster. The man felt immediately unwell and died of an unusual nervous attack in a couple of days. Massol was told to look at an empty box where nobody was expected to be seated at the theater while singing next time. But later, it turned out that a merchant from Marseille had a ticket to the box, but for some reason took the seat only when the performance had already begun. The merchant died next day after the performance. After so many tragic deaths caused by the gloomy glance of the singer, the opera was excluded from the repertoire once and for all. Singer Massol quitted the scene soon. Indian yogis and Tibetan magi indulge in long training and get the gift known as Vashitva that helps them tame and even kill wild animals. Consummate animal trainers say they can stop animals with a glance only and pronounce no words at all. A well-known Russian extrasensory, Rosa Kalushova, can see objects at a distance of 3 meters and read enveloped letters with her eyes closed. This phenomenon proves that the human glance can be penetrative when humans can look through opaque objects. Historians say that Russian writer Leo Tolstoy X-rayed people when talking to them. The glance of Joseph Stalin could paralyze people's will and make them lower their gaze. Some people may even have an impact on photographic films. In the presence of a special committee, an American man named as Ted Sirius fixed his eyes on a picture to memorize its every detail, and then shifted the eyes to a photographic plate. When the film was developed, the committee found a vague picture resembling the original one. Later, experts registered similar phenomena with people suffering from strong visual hallucinations. To know the secret of putting an evil eye upon others, Igor Vinokurov decided to find out more details from a real witch. He met an old woman named Tamara in a god-forsaken village in Russia's Vladimir region, who was rumored to be capable of putting an evil eye on people. Contrary to the general idea of a witch, Vinokurov saw a woman that looked like a good fairy, with a round face, turned-up nose, and blue eyes. The woman said it was easy to bedevil someone. Just imagine someone whom you dislike being ill or dead, and make the fancy particularly vivid. Then closely watch the object of dislike when coming across him and curse him in your mind, the woman confessed. Researchers wanted to see how the recommendation works in the laboratory environment. Doctor of Physical Science, a bioenergetics therapist, Oleg Dubov, affected a portion of distilled water in a sealed end pool with the force of his mind. When physical characteristics of the water were measured, the researcher was surprised to know that the water molecule mobility and the water conductivity increased. Director of the Wave Information Technologies Institute, Vladimir Hokanen, says that a glance can be really murderous, or at least health-destructive. Indeed, numerous experiments prove that the human glance is a source of a strong biological impulse. Eyes emit emanation of high frequency and thus can affect other people. This explains why many of us can sense an intent look of a person following us. A member of the Russian Academy of Sciences, Doctor of Biology, Grant Demyakoglin, says that, like any unique optoelectronic system, the human eye both receives and emits signals. The return radiation going from the eye is the shortwave one, and thus can be as penetrating as X-rays or laser. It may influence the central nervous system, the brain, and the whole body in general. If experts tentatively prove that the power of human eyes is of the same nature as that of a laser, we will have to believe that fictitious characters able to burn a human being to ashes merely with eyes actually exist.
New words.
Laser.
Subordinate.
Harsh.
Sinister.
Pathologist.
Autopsy.
Offend.
Gloomy.
Sensational.
Opera.
Incredibly.
Aria.
Upraised.
Scenery.
Bandmaster.
Tragic.
Exclude.
Repertoire.
Yogi.
Magus.
Indulge.
Tame.
Consummate.
Pronounce.
Extrasensory.
Phenomenon.
Penetrative.
Opaque.
Paralyze.
Vague.
Hallucination.
Witch.
Godforsaken.
Rumor.
Bedevil.
Recommendation.
Bioenergetics.
Therapist.
Distill.
Ampoule.
Mobility.
Conductivity.
Impulse.
Emit.
Emanation.
Intent.
Optoelectronic.
Radiation.
Tentatively.
Fictitious.
Ash.
Proper nouns.
Masal.
Italian Imperial Opera.
Damnation.
Alavi.
Masal.
Tibet.
Vashitva.
Rosa Kuleshova.
Leo Tolstoy.
Joseph Stalin.
Ted Sirius.
Igor Vinokurov.
Tamara.
Vladimir Region.
Oleg Dubov.
The Wave Information Technologies Institute.
Vladimir Hokanin.
Russian Academy of Sciences.
Grant Demir Koglin.